Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Pleased to say we have the CEO of CLP Holdings, Richard Lancaster, with us in our studios. Richard, it's always great to have you in to talk about the results. So the good news is you maintained your dividend. The bad news is you lost nearly 5 billion Hong Kong dollars. And I'm just wondering whether this is a story where sometimes hedging is your friend and sometimes it's your enemy.
The good news is that most of these losses were unrealized losses. So these were basically accounting losses. And you're absolutely right, Brian, that these result from hedging contracts, which we have to mark to market at the end of a period. The price of energy globally has just skyrocketed over the past 6 months. So when you contract forward, you're contracting at the price at the time. When you mark to market at the high prices, then you have to make the accounting losses. But what it is showing is that energy is in short supply globally. That is putting tremendous pressure on energy companies right through the value chain. And if you're in the business of buying fuel, converting it to electricity and selling that electricity, it will inevitably put pressure on you.
Yes, some of the losses that you had were on the hedging contracts held by Energy Australia. And, you know, I can speak from firsthand experience here. It was a very cold winter and there were blackouts and concerns of rolling blackouts as the winter continued. But none of those challenges have really gone away. Can you expect much improvement in the next half and the half after that?
We don't expect that the cost of energy will come down. In Australia, we had a combination of unfortunate events. The weather, as you quite rightly point out, does affect energy. It affects energy demand, but also with so much renewable energy on the system in Australia now, if the wind doesn't blow and if the sun doesn't shine, or if it rains too much, as it did in the early part of the year, it can disrupt rail lines, which means that coal can't get from coal mines to power stations. So weather does have a compounding effect. We don't expect that the price of energy will come down in the near term. It is globally in very high demand. The recovery from COVID, just the challenges that supply chains are seeing globally, compounded by the Ukraine conflict, has really put pressure on energy prices globally.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen oil prices come down a lot, but I mean, if you could speak more specifically to coal and natural gas prices, what's the trajectory there?
Well, if I just look at the Australian market, Australia is a global exporter of both coal and natural gas. It's a long way away from Europe, where we're seeing shortages, but what it is showing is that all over the world, demand for energy is exceeding supply. So that's putting pressure on prices. The price of coal and natural gas in Australia is four times today what it would we would normally expect. And we've been doing business in Australia for around 20 years. So this is something that we have never seen prices at these levels.
How long do you anticipate those prices remaining elevated?
I do not see these prices coming down in the short term. We are in a situation where supply chains cannot be, and energy supply chains in particular, cannot be easily changed. We've seen a shift in the global supply and demand. If Russian gas is not flowing into Europe, then that gas has to come from somewhere else. If you can't get enough gas, then you have to shift to another fuel, and that's putting pressure on coal. So it may be a couple of years before we start to see relief in these prices.
Let's talk a little bit about renewables. You've talked about getting some further exposure here in Hong Kong. What's the latest on that particular project about offshore wind?
That's part of our approach to decarbonize Hong Kong's energy supply, which is very much in line with government's policy to see Hong Kong achieve a net zero carbon economy by 2050. Offshore wind is a technology that we believe now is economic in Hong Kong. We have been quite successful in putting or encouraging solar panels on small village houses in Hong Kong, but that will only be a small part of Hong Kong's energy mix. We believe that the combination of rooftop solar and offshore wind could see Hong Kong getting somewhere between 7 and 15% of its energy mix coming from renewable energy. So this is an area that we think is an exciting development for Hong Kong. We have a site in the eastern waters of Hong Kong, and we will be putting together a proposal for the Hong Kong government to consider in the coming months.
Of course, an important part of the puzzle for renewables is energy storage. Is this an area that you're getting active in?
We are, and renewable energy is very intermittent in its nature, so it has to go with some form of storage. Battery technology is one, pumped storage, hydro is another, hydrogen is another possible area of storing energy. So these are all technologies that we are very, very active in.
Richard, I want to ask you about overall demand out there, but I want to couch it a little bit in you know, how difficult it's been in managing, you think of utilities as a very steady business, subscription income, the money is just coming in every month. But I want to talk a little bit about the difficulties of that. And when you try to gauge demand, are we heading for a global recession or are we okay?
The world is becoming very unpredictable as we recover from COVID. What we have seen in our business is that demand overall has been reasonably stable, but the pattern of demand has changed considerably. Even just during the COVID pandemic, we saw a shift from people using electricity in hotels and restaurants to suddenly using them at home. So the pattern of electricity use changed considerably. For us, it is a relatively stable market in that people need energy and they use it when they need it. But the supply chains and bringing energy into homes is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and that's what we are seeing as a big challenge at the moment, because those supply chains are all being disrupted. The patterns of energy use are changing, and so we are having to be very adaptable to just to keep the lights on and to keep energy as affordable as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, 20 seconds, do you feel this crisis, supply chain issues, changing perceptions around nuclear?
I think so. Nuclear power, if you look at it, is carbon-free. It is insulated from fossil fuel prices. It is a very stable price. So having nuclear power in your energy mix is a blessing. And where you can do it, and you can do it at scale, and it can be affordable, then you should keep it in your energy mix.
All right, Richard, always a pleasure. Richard Lancaster, CEO of CLP Holdings, the larger of the two electricity suppliers in Hong Kong.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.